action, taunting dangerous and delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set them roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
New world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
everybody. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time to
pass.
And now for something completely different.
And it's time once again for the Dutch Jones radio program experience. I was prepping them in the chat room. Make sure you have your snacks handy. Have your little bunny slippers on and just be ready to listen. I've got a treat for you today that I've been promoting. We didn't know when we'd get it done, and we got it done today. But before we do that, welcome to the Dutch Jones radio program, coming to you live when we can, Monday through Friday, but not tomorrow night. No show tomorrow night. We're having a New Year's Eve party with the pastor.
You're not doing this anymore this year.
Huh?
This is the last show of the year.
This is the last show of the year. I hope you appreciate it.
I'm quitting for the rest of the year.
I'm quitting for the rest of the year, Lou says. Lou's always into the emotional part of it. We bring you the militant Christian worldview. We define that the word meek does not mean passive or cowardly. It just means slow to anger. When we're called to be peacemakers, you have to do that through force sometimes. We are firm believers in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. No king but King Jesus, pushing the full crown rights of Jesus Christ into every area of the world. The arts, entertainment, sports, everything but pretty much pornography, you know. I had that question. Well, you're going to push it into pornography? I get that all the time. That's like, God's everywhere. God's in everything. And somebody goes, is he in urine? You know, you just want to slap him. The stupidity of the non-godly world is just, the non-Christian world just amazes me. But you may have noticed, if you're a new listener, we try to bring a kind of warped sense of humor to this. You're not going to hear, you'll hear the message elsewhere, the information, and from better people. You'll learn more from other people than you will from me. But I like to give it out in a little more palatable and inspirational, entertaining method. We don't just deal with the problems, we deal with solutions. And so that's what we're going to be talking about in this show throughout. The first half hour, we're going to share with you Shauna Ford. Shauna Ford is a political prisoner in the Pima County Jail. She's been charged with three capital murders for a crime she did not commit. Somebody whacked some drug lord family. We're going to get more details on that Monday. We're going to have one of her advocates on. But I wanted you to hear from Shauna herself, to put a face, well, a sound. You can see her face at Free Shauna. What is it again, Lou?
JusticeForShaunaFord.com.
And make sure you spell Ford F-O-R-D-E. F-O-R-D-E. But now you'll be able to hear her voice here in just about 30 seconds. Get ready to cue it up. Cue it up, Lou. You can put it up later. We had some trouble getting the interview. The first time I tried it, I said, well, you're a political prisoner. They hung up on us because the prison controls the phone, so we had to tone it down a little bit. The second half of the interview, I just let her talk. You'll hear my gravelly voice in there a few times, but once she got on a roll for about 12 minutes, I just let her talk. We're going to play this. We're going to sit back and listen to it. Listen to the spirit, the strength, the courage of this woman. This is a woman behind the wire. This is a woman who laid it down for the Lord in the holy cause of liberty. We had to bleep a word or two. She's in jail, folks. Things are being done to her, solitary confinement, threats from other inmates, and we'll learn more about that on Monday when we have her advocate, Lane Lawless, on, who's writing a book about this situation, this crime and corruption in Pima County. So without further ado, is it queued up?
Yeah.
Here we go. It just jumps right in because they kept hanging up on us, so it's all edited together with multiple phone calls. Here you go. We're here with Shauna Ford. Shauna, why did you get involved with the Minuteman and border issue movement?
Well, I started out being a media representative for Civil Defense Corps up in Washington and dealing with border issues up there. And then I realized that part of the main problem was that the southern border was wide open. And so I started coming down to Arizona, and I run recon teams from California to Laredo. But I focus more right here in Arizona because 42% of what comes into this country comes right through this one valley between Sells and Nogales.
Now, when did you get started? What year was it? Because I know...
2000. 2005,
okay. Now, about that same time period, it was at its worst, I remember, in California. It was a much neglected cause.
We had people stationed up on Patriot Point there, off of Talcati, right in Campo, California, and it was a gun battle nightly.
Yeah, see, I was a member of the Campo Minutemen. I've spent several nights and weeks. I actually spent several weeks in a row down there every year. So I remember.
And you know, definitely, you know. You guys repair the fence, mm-hmm. and you know about the 246 and down there in the tank and all that.
Sure, yeah. Sure. I've been down there, been up and down the border, you know, through the area. I've been to Arizona a few times myself. So just like most people, what was it that made you want to get involved in it, though? What were you seeing in America that made you want to do something?
Because I love my country.
Right.
And what made me get involved was seeing the absolute collapse, the financial collapse that was coming our way. We knew this years ago, and I'm sure you did too. Because, and the main big problem right there in California, your biggest problem is illegals collecting benefits and services that they're not entitled to, which put your state into a major financial crisis. But this crisis goes all through America, from education to hospital rooms to drugs, to bar deals opening up all over our beautiful little country towns. It's amazing. It's a cancer that has spread through the veins of America, and we are the antibody.
Right. Now, why do you think our government is allowing this to happen? Because anybody with a brain sees the wisdom in having a secure border, but why do you think that our government, it doesn't matter who's in charge, but the government as a whole is allowing this to happen?
The problem is that we have too many elements and factors of the government. We have CIA, DHS, DEA, FBI, and then all the different elements, and each one of them have their own agenda. And so they allow it to happen. Number one is money. It's a $25 billion a year industry just in the drugs alone. And we're not talking about all the slavery and everything else that comes to that border. And then you have the CIA operatives running their own agenda. So the problem is everybody has a political agenda, and they all got to be right. Nobody wants to work together. And the one thing that I find most frustrating is that they tell our border patrol not to even get out of their rig. So you got one guy out in the car every 5 miles, and he can't even get out of his rig.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've seen the cost of that when single border patrol agents get executed.
And I've been telling everybody, just like my friend Rob Kratz, who got killed on his ranch out here. And I've been telling everybody, this is going to get violent, because you put the fence up and you don't put the boots on the ground, the cartel's going to get their stuff through. Even if it means taking out Americans, they don't give a shit about us, excuse my language.
We'll bleep it.
Look, here's the deal. A lot of the cartel over there and the leaders, they laugh at America because they know that we're so binded by our laws and our humanity that we're not allowed to strike back. We're not allowed to handle issues like they do in Mexico. So...
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. And what amazes me, because you've seen it, obviously, you've been on the front lines, and they say there are no solutions, it's a complicated problem, but you have to think that they're either stupid or evil, and I tend to think more that there's an evil reason.
Absolutely. I think attending God is what drives me, too, because I believe that I am someone who is representing God, because God believes in America, believes in the freedom that has been founded in this country, and the blood that has bled red on the soil of this country.
Right, right. And the question that I have next is for you. People who say, well, we need this labor, we need these people here, you're just doing a bad thing, you're hurting the economy by stopping it from coming in. How do you answer that?
Look around now and tell me how much we really needed it. How many people are out of jobs now? We have gone through, I have set up undercover teams throughout the nation that go in and will run the files on Tyson chicken factories or whoever has multiple hundreds of labor. I'm going to use one example. Georgia, we shut down the plant, took 700 workers out of there, all illegal. Within 2 weeks, every jar was filled with an American.
Yeah.
People traveled to get that job. So, you know, I know because I work the front line. I'm in the zone. I know what the issues are and the payoff. And the problem is that so many people, here's what I'm most disheartened by, is that our own people don't stand up for us. And my case is a prime example. They complain about the left media, but then as soon as the media comes out with something, they buy into it. And they don't realize that it's yellow journalism.
Yeah.
And we're being sold out.
Yes, it's true. Now, without going into huge detail, what are some of the things that you do see on the border? Because people think, oh, this is just a racist movement. You don't want you don't want Mexicans coming in. But share with
us.
Folks, what really goes on the border that you've seen?
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. My teams interdict Chinese, Guatemalans, Middle Eastern men. We interdict everything on the border. I have literally sat out in my fatigues with my Gen 3 night vision on trails and had cartel basically walk over me in mule trains with front of 20 hauling heavy stuff in. And they got guns in the front, guns in the back, and I'll sit there and five trains will go in front of me, and then they'll load up the warehouses. But you know what? Let's talk about the children. If people want to say it's not a humane issue, what about all the little girls who are smuggled in here to be sex slaves, and they run them out of convenience stores, have beds in the back by an arcade, and the convenience guy gets a cut in it, and these are 13, 14-year-old little girls.
Man, I don't think most of America even comes close to understanding the war zone that's on the border. I mean, they're starting to see now the spillover. Where do you see this heading if we don't do something about it?
Revolution.
Yeah.
Martial law. Complete devastation. I think because of the people that are going to get, when you're looking at your kid and they're starving, and you have no means, and you can't even get a job. And when things start really going to, going the way south fast, you know, people are going to start standing up. And when they do, all hell's going to break loose. Because one thing about Americans is they will not take it forever. And they have a righteous rage. And that's the one thing that we need to support Americans and tell them, is that they have righteous rage. Some stuff is worth fighting for. Our country and our God is worth fighting for. And, I'd like to, the border, a lot of people don't, what I do is I run recon teams. I'm not like MCDC or some of these other elements who just sitting with their binoculars. Our guys are from Special Forces, and they're very trained, highly skilled, and the one thing that really makes us laugh is that half the time we're training government officials on how to scout, how to track, where to look, what the deal is. And then in the public eye, the media discounts us like a bunch of radical idiots,
right.
And then they take a picture of some guy who's 60 who's got a beer belly, and then that represents really, but it's not. We're very stealth, and we have many, many teams out there doing their diligence to protect this country.
Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's a PR nightmare for them, so they have to make the people that are doing the right thing look stupid and look bad. For some reason, the media has been reporting more and more on the violence down there. I never understand the way, the communist media in America, why they do what they do. But how do you think, okay, so we've talked about the problems. How do we educate America? John Q. Public, the guy that's more concerned with NASCAR than he is about the border. Is it too late for that, or can we educate them and get them awake? What do you think?
Yeah. It's never too late, and let me tell you, MAD, which is Minuteman American Defense, what we did is we started a whole new venture that none of these organizations ever did, and that was counterintelligence and documentaries. People get out there with their cameras and document the stuff, document the trash, the rape trees, document the mule trains. I was working on a huge package of documentation, and the stuff that was going to be released to America was going to be shocking. But then I get arrested, for 2 counts of murder one. And the thing is, I can't be accountable for all my people everywhere all the time. I've got hundreds of them.
Yeah.
It's a war, and people don't understand war. Just like, do you think a sniper comes back from Iraq and can tell Americans the truth of what he's had to do or the truth of what he has seen? He cannot, because America is so soft that they can't handle the truth. And they can't handle the consequences that may come with the fight, the good fight.
Right. Well, that's part of their plan, and for the listeners of this show, I don't, Shauna may not know what our mindset is because she hasn't heard us before, obviously, for obvious reasons. We believe in a New World Order conspiracy, and all conspiracies are not aluminum foil hat stuff. Some of them are legitimate, and we believe that it's a concentrated effort by multiple different agencies. And here in America, we're seeing the results of it coming to fruition now. Other nations have been victims of this for a long time. You know, Europe has fallen to the Muslims and the drug trade, and now we're seeing it here. So, Shauna, where do you see America in 10 years? I mean, if things keep going at the current rate, America doesn't wake up, where do you think we'll be in 10 years because of these efforts by the New World Order?
Most of us probably in labor prison camps. And here's the issue. The thing is that, I have so much intel. I cannot give it out to all of America, not yet. But it is happening. World order is happening, people. It is happening. And America's going to be hit the hardest because everywhere in the world, a man lives in his heart to be free. And what is the one place that he always thinks of that embellishes that freedom? America. So they have to destroy America, because then that will send the presidents throughout the whole entire world. But the thing is, it is definitely good versus bad. Evil versus,
Yeah, it is a battle. It's
here's
bigger
what
than
I see is I see that we're going to starve to death, we're going to die, or we're going to get up and we're going to fight, and it's going to be long and arduous, and hopefully the Oath Keepers and people like that will not turn, but with thousands that they're trying to offer, to serve in our military that aren't even Americans, that's also an ultimate plan.
This call will be terminated in 2 minutes.
I did want to make one further comment as far as when you asked me what people could do around the nation now to prepare themselves or, to make things better. And what I would like to say is that people have got to really get organized. Part of the problem that we have in America is that everybody wants to be a leader, but nobody wants to stop and really listen. We lack in communication. So for me, I did find an organization called Federation Roundtable, and what we do is we take 2 leaders out of each organization, and they come to the table and deal with all their issues, whether it's membership, training, or what they need to do, and then that way they can go back and trickle it down to their members, and then there's nobody in charge. Everybody's kind of on the same playing field. But what's really important that people need to do is they have got to be more diligent in having their members be active. If you have a dead membership base, it's no good. You need to be doing survival training right now, and you need to have an emergency plan. Every group has got to have an emergency plan in place. They should get their ham operator's license, and they should relearn Morse code, because there is going to be a point where we may not have telephones or internet access. And the point on that is the WikiLeaks deal with George Soros funding it and then setting Julian up to be a patsy in the whole deal. Welcome. It's going to be a Patriot 3 Act, and then the fair use will come into play. Goodbye, conservative talk radio, and internet will be monitored. So I think it's really important that each group make sure that their members have something to do. You can do internet investigations. You can build case files in your own community. There's just all kinds of things to do if you want to change something. Otherwise, you need to really get your group educated and on board, and there needs to be some kind of place where everybody can check in. Unfortunately, I'm in jail. If I wasn't in jail, I do a 9-point training plan, and I teach people how to start from either beginning to work their way up, whether it's recruiting, sharing the message. Everybody can do something. You don't have to be on the border. How you start is, first thing is first, code of conduct. So you create a COC, you create an SOP, then you get your members trained. Even if it's just 2 of you, find out where the problem is in your community. Every community has a problem. Document. Andrew Breitbart is a great example of what documentation can do. He brought down Acorn. And that's a phenomenal thing, because they've been getting away with their stuff for a long time. But what you can do is you build a case file. find out who your local representative is for ICE, the feds, whatever, because they will work with you. You go out and you investigate. Go to construction sites, take down license plate numbers, be very diligent in your background. Build a case file. Go to your city hall meetings and make sure and voice your opinion to your mayor. Never, ever feel like you have to hide what you're standing up for. It's not illegal to be in a militia. It is not illegal to organize. It is not illegal yet to voice your opinion. So, and here's the number one thing. Is do not tolerate it anymore. If you go to a drive-in, you go to a store, somebody doesn't speak to you in English, demand English, and then complain to the supervisor. Do not accept it. Period. And if anybody, and I will put this out for your listeners, if anybody wants to contact me and have me write out a detailed 9-point plan for them, I'd be more than happy to respond to them and let them know how to begin from base up. Too many grassroots programs, and then nobody is strong. And I think you need to be strong in numbers. What I can say is, like, for Matt, okay, Matt, we only had open enrollment once a year, so we didn't go out and beg for members. Every single one of our members had to apply, had to fill out a reason, give us a statement as to why they want to be a member, and in what capacity could they be involved. It's way more important to have a strong 5 people than 200 people that do absolutely nothing. So I think it's really important that whoever organizes, that you should have, you should get together with anybody in your area that maybe does have other groups and see if you can start a chapter under their group. Then that way you're still kind of running your own show, but you're in a coalition with somebody, and make sure that there is regional meetings, you know, at least once a month. And people have got to meet once a week. And if they don't, then they really don't have time to be a volunteer or to have a passion. You have to be dedicated to whatever the cause is. And it really requires not asking your volunteers, but assigning things to them. Delegate. Don't be afraid to say, okay, you're going to do internet investigations. You're going to do photo investigations. I'm going to have you do this. You can do a bake sale. The wives can contribute. Every single person can bring something to the table. But if you just have members to have numbers, you're never going to get anything accomplished. So it's way better to have 5 strong. Start a chapter. If you can't find an organization that you really want to fly a flag under, then that's cool. Start your own thing, but make sure that you never, there's a rule of thumb that we live by in Med, we never badmouth another patriot. And that is really important, because then you avoid infighting. And there's a lot of infighting between our organizations. We have a very strict rule in our org. If you badmouth another patriot or you involve yourself in somebody else's issue, you're out. Bye. Because this is how we feel about it. If you're willing to take that energy to the internet or to be badmouthing or pointing fingers at so-and-so, then that means you just wasted more energy not saving our sovereignty, and that is unacceptable. You just have to be really bottom line with stuff. You set up rules that, you know, that are just, you know, if you do this, you're gone. I mean, period. And you know what? We've never had to kick one person out because they were understood from the beginning. You know, so avoid chat rooms. Avoid forums where people feel like they can sit there and bash each other. That's a huge problem. Well, you know, a great example is Jim Gilchrist and Chris Simcox and SOS and then even with Campo, it's Campo and the Mountain Minutemen. I mean, it's just constant. And these people, the energy and the childishness, it's just, you know, I just never have been one to tolerate it because I'm too busy. And if I have members that I'm sitting here pouring everything into and they're sitting there causing conflict, it just doesn't wash. We only have open enrollment once a year. And we're selective on the members we bring in. I do not allow any women on recon missions or at base. I've gone through some issues with that, but it works, let me tell you. And, you know, I mean, you just have to really set up very, you have to live by what you say. You have to set it up and you have to mean it. You can't just mean it one day and not mean it the next. And the problem that I've seen at every organization is that they ask people to volunteer to do things. We don't do that in Matter. We'll just delegate it. Okay, here, I need you to go contact this, and I need you to go do this, or I need you to go build that file and give it to the ICE agent. Or just, if there's a day labor site in your area, get out there and protest. Well, here's another rule at MAD that we have. Second rule is you never badmouth the press, period. I don't care what they have called me a whore, they have called me everything under the sun. And you know, I smile at them and I say, thank you, have a nice day. Now, back to the movement. And I just don't give up the time. I mean, jeez. So one thing is you never badmouth the press. You always call your local law enforcement, let them know who you are and where you're going to be and why. You should bring your banners, make sure they're appropriate. Do not banter with the other side. You're just there to state your issue and make sure and be, you know, articulate about your issue. Have one spokesperson. That's another thing we don't allow in MAD. You're not allowed to do press or any kind of thing unless you've been pre-authorized and fully trained as a spokesperson. So when the press or anybody else comes up to you, you just say, you hand them the card and say, that's the spokesperson, or the spokesperson's not here at this time, and I can't make a statement. So I think, you know, part of it is that too many people have been too lax, and then they get disappointed because, you know, and they get mad because they don't feel like their volunteers are doing enough, or, you know, and really, my motto has always been that if we succeed, it's because of you. If we fail, it's because of me. And it's as simple as that. You know, honestly, I gave up a business. I gave up a marriage. I gave up property, a home. You know, because there was a point, and I think every American has got to come to a point where they have to, are they willing to truly sacrifice for the good of your country? And I had to come to that decision on my...
This call will be terminated in 2 minutes.
I had to come to that decision on my own and be willing to be homeless and sacrifice. And if I could accept those bottom basic things, then I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. And really, you have to set by example. I gave up everything to get out there and fight for this country. And you know what? I would do it again tomorrow. And I don't. It's sad that I'm in jail, and it's sad that I'm being tried on a death penalty, but it's not surprising to me. They want us off the border. I was threatened weeks before I even came to the border by everybody, from top brass to medium brass. That's how intimidated they are from the truth.
This call will be terminated in 1 minute.
I would just like to say that it's just time for people to stand up and say enough is enough. And, you know, please contact me if you guys want any organizational tips or ideas, or you just need to vent. I think every leader needs to have an opportunity to vent. That's why we created Federation Roundtable for leaders only. It's just, you know, don't believe things that you hear. You know, be intelligent. Be dedicated, and you know, just continue on doing what you need to do, because we have little time left, and we have so much challenge ahead of us that we've got to unite as brothers in this cause. And for America, I stand for America. I will die, and I love my country, and I love my God.
You
can email me anytime too.
I love your passion, and I need you to know that we are praying for you. We've been praying for you in our prayer circles up here at the church, and I've been telling our listeners to continue to pray for you and your effort. And
thank you very much. I very much appreciate that, Doug.
Okay, thank you very much, and God bless you, and stay safe in there.
God bless you too.
Okay, bye bye.
You're a good American. Bye.
Yes, sir, you. Bye bye.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
In the little streets of Belfast, in the dark of early morn, British soldiers came running, breaking little homes away scorn. Hear the sobs of crying children, dragging fathers from their bed. What's the scene that's helpless mothers? What's the blood fall from their heads? Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. For them, a judge or jury, or indeed a crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty, so they're guilty one and all. Round the world, a truth will echo, Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people stand together, proudly marching on your way. Never fear and never falter, till the boys come home to stay. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Guns.
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! Avenge me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletins. We'll send roadblocks everywhere!
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
World order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency!
We speak! An emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
the gas stations, everybody!
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time
for Dutch Jones!
And now for something completely different.
And we're back for the second half hour. Hopefully you guys were here for the first half hour and you heard the stuff we were talking about. A lot of questions generated in that by the people in the chat room. First of all, you and I will never know what the truth is and things that we weren't at. But listening to this woman on the phone for over 2 days, listening to her advocates, looking at the evidence, which will be discussed Monday here for a full 2 hours. We'll go over the whole case about people shot, survivors, co-conspirators supposedly turning evidence, the character of those people, and these things. This is going to turn into, if it weren't being ignored by the press, it would be a major, major event. I can't believe it's being ignored by the press because they don't want her to get out the message of why she's being persecuted. She was a white woman on the border who had evidence of all kinds of wrongdoing, was about to present a huge packet, when suddenly a family gets wiped out, The mom survives with strangely non-lethal wounds when everybody else was shot dead. At first doesn't identify the attackers, then later does, then recants. It's just one of those terrible stories. Terrible, terrible stories. It's just a great example. There's two lessons to be learned here. One, and the important one, is the character of this woman and the strength and the courage. She's facing triple homicide charges. I mean, they can only kill you once, but you understand what I'm saying. I can't remember the last time Arizona injected or hung or anything a woman. They'll probably, you know. But her life is pretty much over. She's in the meat grinder. Miracle of God intervention or public pressure, and they stop the lies, and she has a fair trial. But the lesson here, I can't imagine being accused of something you didn't do, murdering children and a family, being thrown into a jail with people who hate you, the massive Mexican population in the jail down there, death threats, Mexican guards, being put in solitary confinement for telling the truth and for resisting their tyranny. Her trial's coming up in January. And it is a rigged and stacked deck, as Batfag says. So I just pray that God's will be done in this, and I want to make sure that people know about it. I'm going to let you decide whether she's innocent or not after Monday hearing some of the evidence. Do your own research. You saw the websites. Go to the websites I posted in the chat room. Shauna Ford, what is it?
JusticeForShaunaFord.com.
You do the research. The second thing we need to learn from this is if you go out there as a maverick and you start doing what God tells you to do, they're going to come after you. I get so sick of people saying, well, she was stupid. She shouldn't have been so vocal, so high profile. She was doing what every one of us should be doing. Every one of us should be fighting for the liberty of this nation, for the sovereignty of this nation, to seek out corruption. She's an example of one of the great women of the cause. 100 years from now, when books are being written, I hope that she's in it, whether she's vindicated or not. And I'm going to say something here that's going to really enrage the Southern Poverty Law Center guy that's listening right now, because I know he's listening. They don't like it when she gets airtime. So I know they're listening. They were put on notice that we were going to do that interview, and they didn't want us to. I don't care if she wiped out drug runners, illegal aliens, coming into this country illegally, whatever. If she slaughtered an innocent family, yeah, that's wrong. I don't care. What about the truth of the evidence that she had? Let's take all that out of it. Where's that packet that she had she was going to turn over? Why are they keeping her stifled, and why do we have to use backdoor ways to get her to be able to get her message out? The Southern Perversion Law Center has just vilified this woman and her supporters. They're doing a really good job of suppressing the truth. And I'm asking you guys, when this hits the archives, thank you, Olima, for being here tonight. When the archive goes up, cut and paste it and send it to everybody. I did it in the first half hour for a reason, because I know some people don't like the flavor of this show. They can't get past my weird sense of humor and my extreme militant views. But if you say, just listen to the first half hour, just listen to this woman, they'll hear the websites given out, and they can do the research themselves. And I'm asking all of you that believe in the holy cause of liberty to do the research yourself and do as God moves you to do so, to spread this word. The reason they're snuffing her out is to send a message, and it worked. Let me tell you something, and this is going to make some people mad. The rest of the Border Patriot world, except for a handful of people, have run from this story. Jim, you know, in there she said, don't bag on other ones. I'm not going to follow her advice because I get mad. Some people need to be bagged on. That's the one thing I don't say spend a lot of time in a flame war. All these groups are like, oh, we don't want anything to do with her. We want to distance ourselves. Now, if you got a maniac like Robert Crooks of the Mountain Minutemen, who's pretending to kill illegals and bury them and videotaping it and putting it on YouTube like he did last year, you guys remember that? Yeah, he needs to get spanked and thrown out. He's a criminal. But this woman is accused of something. We don't know what the facts are yet. I know what I believe, but I don't know what I know 100%, because I wasn't there with her when she wasn't there, or there with her when she was. Does that make sense? That sounded weird. but we can't let them snuff her out. Her own, other than her own tight-knit group, people are abandoning this story. And in January, she's going to go to court. You know, it's going to be dragged out. There's going to be dates and postponements and all that, and we're going to try to keep up on it here. We're going to have Lane Lawless keep calling in. We're going to have Lane Lawless keep calling in and giving us updates as it goes. She couldn't listen tonight because she's presenting something to a group on this case. She's out there working it, beating the street to get people to listen to this, and I'm asking you to do it. One of the reasons the security is so high, I saw some video news reports, local news reports from Pima. The weaselly little sheriff down there is saying that the militias are going to break her out of jail. That's why we've got her in protective custody, and we're worried about the safety of other inmates and our people and her safety. I was talking to the family today. They said, well, what happened? I said, well, after the collapse, we've got to maintain control of information on where these people are, like the Hutari people in Ohio that we talked about earlier this week. Other people behind the wire. We got to remember where they are and not forget them so we can go get them. Now, I'm not the guy that could do that. I don't have the mind to get somebody out of a prison. We'll leave that up to Batfag. He can plan all those. He can be our POW recovery team leader, right, Batfag, in the chat room? But remember this. If they want you, they can get you. Somebody the other day said, you don't have to worry about having a sawed-off shotgun. The ATF has a whole room full of sawed-off shotguns with your fingerprints on them already. We're going to actually air it again Monday. Minuteman's asking if we can put this on Liberty Tree Radio. On Monday, we're going to redo this. But what we're going to do on Monday is we're going to play excerpts of it plus commentary from Lane Lawless on to expand. Because you've got to remember, she is muzzled in that jail. We had several attempts when she tried to talk about the case or what it was like in jail. They hung up on us. And my attitude was, I don't want to air those things that may hurt her case. Do you understand that? So, yeah, we're going to air this again on Liberty Tree Radio on Monday. I would have done it today, but we have the pastor coming up. In fact, I'm going to make an announcement. He's going to be 10 minutes late, so I'll have to fill for 10 minutes till the pastor can get here. He just called during the break. And he's going to be talking about the Dominion mandate. Dominion mandate is going to be a good topic. This is a very touchy topic for Christians, not to get off the topic at hand, but say, for instance, a question that's going on a Facebook page that we're discussing right now. Should Christians join the military today? Tough question. Our military today is ungodly, definitely. But we as Christians are supposed to permeate, or to be the yeast, the salt, the leaven, and go into all things. If God calls you, you know, that. And we make the joke here like, well, should Dominion go into porn? You know, should a Christian get into porn? No, I mean, that's use common sense. Don't be stupid. But that's what we're going to talk about when the pastor, Warren Mark Campbell, comes in when we're on Liberty Tree Radio. So, yes, Minuteman, I really want to get this on Liberty Tree Radio. And I'm also hoping, I've been told that other outlets are still carrying the signal. I don't get a lot of feedback from them, though. You know, Watchmen, PBN, a couple other places are carrying our shows. I stopped doing it because I'm like, tell me where you're hearing it. Tell me where you're hearing it. And the only people that tell me where they're hearing it are the people that are in the chat room right now. So it's kind of weird. We see the hits. We see that. Dutch, there's a guy from the Southern Poverty Law Center, ACLU, getting railroaded by a tyrant. We would be jumping up over that one, too. You know what? Batfag, you're right. If the ACLU is right on an issue, I support him. And I can tell you, when is that case on the flag coming up again? February?
January 14th.
January 14th in...
But he's supposed to
contact you. I know. January 14th, we're going to have a Klansman on here from Arkansas or Missouri?
Missouri. I don't know about January 14th.
Missouri, well, after January 14th. Yeah. The ACLU is representing the Klan to give them the right to assemble on state property with the Confederate battle flag. The ACLU is representing him, so the ACLU is not always wrong. They're always communist, but they're not always wrong. So, yeah, if somebody was being railroaded, I would go after him. So the mole for the Southern Poverty Law Center would consider that things would be better off all around. Yeah, they've tried to ruin my life here at the Southern Poverty Law Center. I don't know if I've told you guys. They call the pastor and try to out me, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care. So these scumbags, I was warned that if I did this story that I would make the Southern Poverty Law Center mad. I hope that moves me up on the list. Next year I want to be on America's top 100 most dangerous people. You know, I don't want to be number one, but I'd like to be like in the top 90. Even number 100 would be nice. What would that do for our ratings, you know?
Please.
Huh? Please, please, can I be in there?
The ones that's most dangerous.
Yeah, I'm not dangerous at all. I'm just a guy with a microphone.
Yeah.
I'm not taking anybody's rights away. I'm not impinging upon anyone, but yet our people are being thrown in jail. Not left and right, I almost said that, but our people, increasingly, you're going to see patriots going to jail and being held. Stacy's on a roll. Yeah, Stacy's all mad back there. She didn't get to hear the interview till tonight, and I just let her hear chunks of it. Yeah, I wouldn't mind being up around Pastor Pete Peters. Those of you that don't know, I actually went to Pete Peters' church when I was in Colorado. I didn't like the racist tone that he used to have. And those of you who've been listening to him over the years, when I was a teenager, he was more Christian identity. This time he says he's not. But Pete Peters, Chuck Baldwin's at the top. I shook the hand of Chuck Baldwin.
Oh, me too.
Who else is on the list? That we had like two
Joe
of them.
Bannister.
Huh? Joe Bannister. I've met him. He's been to our church. He's on the list. Is John Weaver on the list on the top 100? John Weaver's not.
I don't know.
I should start getting autographs.
How about Steve Klein?
Steve Klein's not on this year, but I have a feeling he's going to be on next year. I really do, guys. Listen on Tuesdays. I do know how to use my mic as a lethal weapon. It's the same thing. Everything in my hand goes for the throat or the eye or the groin. That's it. Butch Paul. I don't know who Butch Paul is. Somebody keeps typing Butch Paul. I don't know. I have to look that one up. I don't know who that is. Butch Paul. That's an interesting name.
I think he's saying that Butch Paul's on there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I should have all these guys on the list signed. We should get a rifle, have them sign it, and then we'll raffle it off to you guys. I don't know how we legally could do that, but who cares right now, huh? That'd be kind of... Maybe we could do a crossbow or something. Have a bunch of pastors sign that come through the church here, all the Patriot pastors and Rebel pastors that come through here, Confederate pastors. We could have... It'd be pretty cool. We could do it. Okay, that guy's on Alex Jones. It was funny, we went to a restaurant tonight in town, the Cider Mill, and we pulled up in the parking lot, and there's a white truck that had a Ron Paul sticker and a InfoWars on it, and I said, I'm about to embarrass you guys, because I'm going to walk in there and in a loud voice say, all right, who's got the InfoWars sticker on their car? I walked in, and before I could say anything, it was somebody I knew from a couple of years ago, somebody involved in the Ron Paul. He was the chairman of the Ron Paul election committee for our county, and he had moved to Idaho, and he's back visiting, so I was hoping I'd found somebody new, but I didn't. It was just somebody coming in. Okay, I know who you're talking about now. The pastor who leaked the intel on the clergy response teams. For those of you that don't know, FEMA was grooming pastors to enforce their version of Romans 13, that we have to turn in our guns and obey all authority, even if it's corrupt. Quite frankly, we found out about a few of those pastors, and it was hard for us not to go punch them in the head. But, yeah, that does happen. They do sell you out. And as more of us... the day may come, I don't know, I'm not that important, but if the day comes that I'm in jail, I'm here to tell you, whatever they say I didn't do. Unless I did do it, then I'll let you know. What?
Gary Franchi.
Oh, yeah, Gary Franchi's on there, so I've interviewed him.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones is on the top 40?
Yeah, 13.
Man, Jack McLam, I've talked to him.
What number is Alex Jones?
Alex Jones is what number, Lou?
13.
Alex Richard Jones Mack. Is number 13.
Richard Mack.
Oh, Richard Mack. Okay, so I've met quite a few people on the Southern Poverty Law Center's Most Dangerous People list. Just give it a quick look to see if I'm on there yet. Maybe they added me in an addendum. Lou, you need to start a letter-writing campaign.
They are.
Glenn Beck. I don't know Glenn Beck.
Ron Paul.
Ron Paul, okay. Let's see. But Chuck Baldwin's number one. Joe Bannister's number two. Number three is, Martin Red Beckman. I was just finished reading another one of his books. I don't know him, but I've read his book.
Is John Arthur on there?
Is John Arthur on there? I don't think John Arthur has that big of an audience. He's only on Liberty Radio. Oh, they put the link. Lou put the link in the chat room for the list right there. In there, it doesn't light up. I don't know if John Arthur is. He doesn't have that big of an audience that I know of. He's probably about double mine. from just what it sounds like. No, he's not on there. John Arthur's not on there. He needs to get off of Liberty Radio Live and get up on Liberty Tree Radio, and maybe that'd move him up. I can tell you what, when I went from those two other networks, Fart Talk Radio, First Amendment Radio Talk Radio, Fart Talk Radio, F-A-R-T, when I left them, our audience doubled when I got onto Liberty Tree Radio. Even the first hour, because the first hour we don't simulcast it over other networks unless people are picking it up now I don't know about. It made a big difference, and we got more people to listen. And I'm getting emails every day. I get about 200 emails a day. Most of them are just links to stories, which I appreciate. I try to read them all. I can't answer them all. But like today, I got a bunch of thank yous from people for shows that they've heard that aired back in November, September, that had nuggets of truth in them, and that's why we do it. And that's what they're going to come after us for. Eventually, I'm gonna do enough that they're going to say, hey, let's pull the... I mean, honestly, the easiest thing for them to do is just pull the plug. And they can do anything to us. So just whatever happens to me, if I disappear, Dutch Jones is no more, you know, if they say it was a suicide, it wasn't, not an option for me. It's a coward's way out. If they say I pulled a gun on a cop after being pulled over, it's a lie. I wouldn't be that stupid unless I had the upper hand. I'm not going to shoot somebody over a speeding ticket or a couple days in jail because I don't have a driver's license anymore or something. You know, that's not me. That's not my character. You guys have got to know that, and you've got to let people around you know that. It's a good idea that we start sharing with people, hey, you know, I'm involved in this thing. I'm not going to tell you all of it, but if suddenly you see the SWAT team in my house, it's nothing I did. I am following the Lord. I am Coram Deo. I am following King Jesus Christ. I am trying to be as best a Christian soldier as I can. If there's going to be a war, let them start it here and now. I'm not going to start it. But if they come for me and my children, I'm not going to wait till I'm in the FEMA camp to go, you dirty SOBs, and shake my fist at the guard tower. I'm not going to be that stupid. Discretion is the better part of valor. I'm gonna be like, you know, it's going to be run, Dutch, run. Run, Dutch, run. And then when I have the upper hand, I'll fight back. Let's see, what's this? Oh, that's Stacy. Stacy's just putting stuff.
Yeah, he was talking about...
Yeah, or the... Yeah,
and
yeah.
Told him he didn't kick you off, you quit.
Yeah, I quit, Nicholas. He didn't kick
me
off.
Because he didn't want you talking.
He didn't want the truth. It wasn't really First Amendment radio. There was a thing put in the chat room. They'll put child porn on your computer to ruin you in the public. I guarantee you, my computers are in a public venue. Anybody from the church can walk by these computers. This one's here 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Anyone in the library can come up and look at my computer. And I invite anyone to come look at my computer. You will not find any porn on here that I put on here. And if somebody did, it didn't come from me or my family or anyone here at the church. Trust me, we search for it. We make sure there's not stuff. Anytime something pops up on the computer, I go, Lou, get over here. They will use any means necessary to destroy your credibility, to ruin your family, to make certain that you lose all credibility or they can snuff you out. The closer you get to the truth, the more violent they're going to get against you. And that's just the nature of it. And more like, I'm reading something somebody. Oh, I like that. Somebody's making a comment on the Dominion thing that I said. That committing murder under an unrighteous government doesn't protect you. That's a good point. We'll have to bring that up when we have the pastor in here. Hopefully he'll be listening then too. So be alert. Be focused, but don't let them hinder your pace. Don't let them hinder your pace, but don't try and sprint it either. This is a long race. This is a long, long race for victory here, for liberty, for freedom for all men, all of God's children, and all those yet not to hear the word of the Lord, right? Keep that in mind. Put that in your heart. Write it on your heart and leave it there. Use one of those markers that doesn't erase. Write it on your heart and know it's there every minute of every day. Just like Paul was in prison, Sean is in prison. I, you know, she made comments in the interview about being a Christian, and how I asked her, basically before the recording started, how do you do this? How do you survive this? And she said, faith in Jesus Christ. We can learn from her example. And I only pray that I have the same kind of support she has. I talked about how many people walked away from her, but how many people stuck by her. That there are people out there willing to make it possible for us to get around the phone thing so that we can interview her. To have that kind of support. We cannot turn our backs on people when they go. Unless, you know, we find out they're a child molester and it's real. You know, then, you know, let them serve their time. But if they're in prison for a righteous cause, we have to visit our brothers and sisters in prison and we have to support them. I can't visit them in prison. Being on the no-fly list, I'm not allowed to go to prisons either, I found out, and visit people. You know, if I ever become a pastor, that's really going to put a dent in my ministry. If a bunch of our friends...
They can't arrest you. You can't go into prison.
Yeah, if I don't go to prison, they can't arrest me. Hey, I can't be here. I'm on the no-fly list. I'm a person of interest by the State Department and the Department of Justice. I'm in my real name. So I can't go visit people in prison, but I will write them emails. And here's something in these last couple minutes. Those of you that I know I'm going to get an email on this, I can't believe you're telling us to write to a prison to support Shauna. What if this is just a ploy to get all of our addresses? What if, well, if you're actually off your butt and doing something for the cause, they already know who you are. And if you're some kind of couch potato and you're not doing anything, what's it going to hurt? So either way, write to these people. We talk about the Hutari folks. Write into the folks there. I would hope that if I was ever incarcerated, you guys would not forget me and write me cards of encouragement and send me letters and pray for me, most of all. Send me cakes with files in them.
Okay.
What? A foot-long sandwich, as Stacy says, yeah. Send me a foot-long. You know, so. Yeah, use a fake return address. She's not going to have time to write back to you. And she expects that. And it's the same thing with the Hutari guys. Just don't even put your address on it. Just go some in another town so it gets postmarked somewhere else. I'll put Dutch Jones on it, Post Office Box 31. I'll do that. I don't care. Of course, I'm screaming five nights a week on this thing, preaching in a church, training people out on the range. They know what I'm doing. They may not know exactly who I am, but they, you know, if they're smart, they know I'm not a danger to anybody but anyone that's a danger to me or my loved ones. So they can knock me off the list. They send, you know, that's fine. But when the time comes and they start doing the roundups and the KGB come in the middle of the night and they want you to stop at by any means necessary and they're going to destroy you, remember Shauna Ford. Remember the Hutari. I wish I could interview the Hutari. I'm blessed to get this interview and you're blessed to be able to hear it. We'll be right back.
Some of the events described have not occurred in the life of the author. They have occurred in the lives of thousands of other revenue-oppressed Americans. The author disclaims any responsibility or liability for any loss incurred as a consequence of the use and the application of any of the following information, which is not provided for the purpose of rendering any legal advice or professional service. In other words, this song is totally frivolous and without merit.
Not. Last April, right around tax time, along with my 1040 form, sent the IRS a message to tell them they was wrong. And I told them I was sick and tired of playing their cheating game. And as for all my honest, hard-earned wages, to them they never had no claim. Because I never worked in Puerto Rico, nor lived in Washington, D.C. I wasn't under their jurisdiction, and there was nothing they could do to me. Since I've never ever been an employee of the federal government, I ain't liable for, no subject to, no, I've never owed you one red cent. But let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. This is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now it didn't take them very long before they garnished all my hard-earned pay. Then they repossessed my pickup truck and had it towed away. And then they up and seized my bank accounts as they auctioned off my family farm. And to keep me from proving my innocence, well, they shackled me in iron. Now let me tell you, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. They'll trample down your rights as they break inside your home. They'll terrorize your sweet bride as they put the hard lean on. Yes, it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong. Now the truth about the IRS code is that it's fraudulently misapplied. Because the legal definition of taxpayer is exclusively derived. So all you agents of the evil IRS are in reality a bunch of thieves who are working for the foreign bankers to bring America to her knees. So listen up, you international banksters, and all you traitorous congressmen, and all you low-down, lying, thieving, cheating lawyers, better leave the country while you can. When the people find out the truth about how the income tax is based on fraud, they're gonna rise up all across this nation. They're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. To use the famous words of Andy Jackson, we're gonna rout you vipers out, by God. And then it's gonna be dangerous, cause we're right and the government is wrong. We'll
trample down their rights as we break inside their homes. We'll terrorize the sweet brides as we put the hard lean on. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong. Yes, we're dangerous, cause we're right, and the government is wrong.
With explicit reservation of all rights without prejudice per UCC 1-206.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters use in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you've surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Obey me! Obey me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set them roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world
order. Attention. Attention.
The government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency. I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time
to catch Jones.
And now for something completely different.
Greetings and welcome to our Liberty Tree Radio audience, our Stronghold audience, our Facebook audience. To those not listening live today, which is Thursday the 30th? Today the 30th of December 2010. Our pod people, I haven't mentioned you guys in a while. Welcome to our pod people, people listening on Facebook. I just found out we're on, what was the other one? View what?
ViewFlix.
People are putting us up on ViewFlix. We thank you very much. If you missed the first hour, you missed a lot, but that's okay. Next Monday, we're going to do another show on the same topic. We were talking about Shauna Ford, the lady behind the wire down in Arizona in Pima County. Listen to it after we're done with this hour. Go to DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info, and listen to the first hour. I got a jailhouse interview. We had to do some finagling, get permissions, things like that. And we were able to interview Shauna for about 24 minutes and talking about what she's accused of. Those of you that are tuning in, waiting in for Pastor's Corner, he just walked in the door here. He's a little late, and I was about to tell you it might be 10 minutes, but he's only 5 minutes. Actually, if you add it up, that's 2 minutes because we had the roll-in and all that. So as the pastor gets set up, I will fill in. There will be no show tomorrow. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. We're going to be doing a party thing up here, relaxing. And so we will not be set up to do a show tomorrow. Oh, sorry. And so you'll hear a repeat, maybe a sermon. Maybe we'll put a pastor's sermon on or something. That would be good. Do another double whammy of John Weaver and Pastor Warren Mark Campbell for the show. Monday we will cover on 2 hours. 2 hours of the Shauna Ford story. The first hour will be on you broadcast, of course, on Stronghold Radio. And we will cover, you know, a little bit of history. We're going to have one of her advocates on, Lane Lawless, who will be talking about what she's accused of, what the actual case is, because Shauna wasn't allowed to talk about it. If you heard the interview, it was very controlled. They disconnected us if I called her a political prisoner. They kept beeping things and stuff. So be tuning in Monday. We're going to get the story, raw story. I'll let you judge for yourself. You go to the website, you investigate it, and decide what you think. But until... you know, my opinion is I'm going to continue to pray for her. The conversations I've had with her, I don't know. I need to see the evidence, but she is definitely strong for the cause of liberty. So that's what we're going to be doing on Monday. I hope you guys have a really good New Year's, if I don't get a chance to say that before the end of the show. You guys be careful. Don't do anything stupid. I say stay home and enjoy your family. Break out some board games. Don't be dumb. We can't lose any more people for stupid things. We need a few of us. Well, I guess we're doing okay. Let me bring up our mic. And without further ado, this will be Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell. How are you doing today, sir?
Good evening, Dutch. It's good to be with you and your listeners tonight.
Great, great. We're glad you made it. Now, today we're going to be talking about dominion, you told me on the phone.
That's correct. I've been considering and was thinking and praying about what to speak on, and with facing the new year, I thought the topic of dominion, it's a message of hope, it's a message of encouragement, and shall we get started?
Yeah, go right ahead, and if we get any calls, we'll just put them on that speaker over there so you'll be able to hear them, and you just let us know when it's okay to take calls, and we'll get going right away.
Okay, sounds great, Dutch. Well, folks, I'm going to start as I usually do with a springboard text, and that's found in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 27, Genesis 1, 26, actually, Genesis 1, 26 to 28. We'll look at all three.
Okay.
Genesis 1, 26 to 28. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth. That replenish there is fill the earth. Subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So the scripture right away in the very beginning talks about Adam and Eve having dominion over the creation of God. The church, by and large, only small segments of the church really even use the D word. It's like a politically correct thing within the church world never to talk about Christians having dominion. We're supposed to be the off-scouring of the world and just the people that get kicked around and beat around and don't have a vision towards dominion. But when Jesus came on the scene, and we're going to fast forward here about 4,000 years, Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 12, he said, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, we have to be warring. We have to have a warfare mindset. But in that warfare mindset, that we are those that will take the kingdom of God, and that we will press the crown rights of King Jesus into every area of life, we can only do so if we really have a message of hope. That we really believe that God's called us to take dominion. Jesus said when he came out of the grave, in Matthew 28:18-20, he said, all authority is now given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, teach, and baptize. That teaching and discipling is important because it's an aspect of dominion. If we're discipling nations, and that's the term that he uses there, teach all nations and baptizing them the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that means God's expecting nations to change and conform to the image of his Son, actually to conform to his law word. So with the thought of dominion, man and woman created for dominion. Now, we lost dominion after the fall, after Adam and Eve fell, but dominion has been granted back to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things I want to talk about here in just a minute. In our Christian walk and calling, there's a big difference between being good and not sinning and engaging the enemy in the cosmic battle of right and wrong. See, most of the church were, well, you just stay away from sin, you know, try and get a few people saved here and there, but they don't think of themselves as engaged in a cosmic struggle for the earth, for God's earth, because Psalm 24:1 tells us the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and the inhabitants as well. They're under God's control. The modern church, I think, Dutch, to a large degree, has repressed the natural drive of young men to be dominion-oriented.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you've been in churches, we've all been in churches where young men are, you know, their natural drive to be dominion-oriented, to be the leadership role is sort of suppressed in the world around them, and Christians are just, you know, supposed to just be kicked around the block, so to speak, and you put on a good, happy smile, and they don't ever think, the young men are not taught to be dominion-oriented, to buffet their bodies under, as Paul says, and to be prepared to give an answer to every man that asks them the hope of the reason that lies within them. Yeah. There's a number of reasons for this. Why the church world has repressed the natural drive of young men to be dominion-oriented. And they do so with verses such as 2 Timothy 3:13, and which are ripped out of context, and it emasculates young men from actually propagating a Christian culture. So I want to take, I believe, 2 Timothy 3:13 is a very important text, and it's a very misunderstood text within Christianity. And I want to, I hope, demonstrate to your listeners, and if they have any questions, I certainly will take questions concerning this, that the modern church world has this passage wrong. Your listeners will recognize if they don't have a Bible in front of them. Paul says to the young minister, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." The end time prophecy prognosticators have interpreted that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse as they'll wax worse and more powerful, deceiving and being deceived. But it doesn't say they'll wax worse and more powerful and gain more authority. It says they're going to get worse and worse. And what that means is once you begin to enter into a life of sin, it's like a downward spiral. Mm-hmm. And as that old phonograph record would go round and round, as it gets closer to the center, it goes faster and faster. The needle goes faster and faster. So once you begin a downward descent into sin, the descent goes faster and faster. It's
snowballs.
A spiraling. It snowballs. That's another way of looking at it. But the church world has taught that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse in what they call the end time. Therefore, there's nothing you and I can really do about it. Why have a Dutch Jones radio program? Why have, you know, Intelligence Report or a lot of the things that people are doing if we took the average Christian's theology?
Bailout theology.
Sort of a bailout theology that Jesus is going to come back, and so that's all that we can do is the hope that he'll come back soon. Well, let me demonstrate for you, folks, those of you that have a Bible, that that's not what Paul is talking about, that the world's going to get worse and worse. He begins the chapter in 2 Timothy 3:1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, I like to interpret Scripture with Scripture. In other words, so then we'd ask the question, what is the last days? Are we in the last days? I would say, yes, we're in the last days, but we have been in the last days for 2,000 years. You say,
right.
What? I thought we've been in the last days since Israel became a nation in 1948.
Oh, no.
No, sorry to disappoint some of you. Let's look at the...
Israel lovers.
Let's look at you to the... let's look at the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days," past tense, "He in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom he made all the worlds."
Pretty clear.
So according to the author of Hebrews, they were in the last days back then. Those last days, of course, were the final days when the Old Testament era of sacrifices were going to be done away with in just a very short time, and we'll be ushering in the new receptivity of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, and there'll no longer be a sort of a twilight time where good Christians were wondering, should I continue to offer up a lamb? Should I continue to offer up a dove? I do believe in Jesus, and I believe he died for my sins. But it was so ingrained in them to do these
circumcision
things.
Circumcision question that came up, everything.
Circumcision, yeah. It was so ingrained in them, they wanted to be obedient to followers of the Lord, but that those last days were changing. Of course, it was going to find its completion in the destruction of the temple and the siege of Jerusalem from 67 to 70 A.D., and that whole last days is what Paul was talking about. But you could ask the question, are we in the last days? No, certainly we could be in the last days of the era of the lordship of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And so he says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good, traitors." Now, this is what was happening in Paul's day. Now, there's nothing wrong with making application. I see these things happening today. Look at verse 4, says traitors. Boy, we've got traitors at the highest levels of this country. They're, you know, the U.S. Senate and Congress are full of traitors. and state houses are full of traitors. But that was the way it was back then. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly, verse 9, shall be made manifest, as theirs also was. The folly of those that are withstanding Paul and the message of the gospel at that time. Paul says it's not going to go any further. But then he says, Timothy, you have fully known my doctrine and manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions which come to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, but how the Lord delivered me. And then he says, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, you continue in the things which you've learned. So this is not a statement. Paul's not making a prophecy that 2,000 years from the time he's talking to Timothy, that evil men and seducers are going to come on the scene and they're going to wax worse and worse and more powerful. The word more powerful is not even in the context, not even in the passage. And so what he's saying is that there were men that were confronting the gospel, and as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so they were trying to fight Paul, they were withstanding Paul, but he says, they shall proceed no further, and their folly would be manifest. So Christians aren't the losers here, it's those that were withstanding Paul and fighting the message of the gospel. Paul says those are the ones that are the losers. So I believe that 2 Timothy 3:13 is just simply talking about what happens to people when they depart from the faith. And so
it's all contextual, and people don't want to do that. They don't want to notice that.
I agree. I think that's contextually, it was actually yanked out of its context to say that this is an end time passage so that Christians have no hope. But I'm here to tell you folks that we have hope because Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews 13:8, mm-hmm. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
So I believe we're called, according to Jesus, as I already quoted Matthew 20:18-20, he has all authority, and we're to go and make disciples and teach the nations, all right? And that's what we're to do. It's important to remember that when the Christian church largely renounced dominion 150 years ago, dominion didn't disappear, that concept, because I don't know how many church goers are out there, but how oftentimes does your pastor use the term, folks, dominion? There's not many pastors that do.
Never heard it until I came here.
Okay, thank God for those few pastors that do, because it's definitely in the Word of God. But if you renounce dominion, and if your church doesn't teach dominion, and you don't believe in dominion, you might say, I differ with Pastor Warmark. We're not to be dominion-oriented. Well, all right, if you take that position, let me tell you that dominion doesn't disappear. It's simply transferred.
Yeah.
More often than not, if the dominion leaves the Christian's hands, it gets transferred to the civil magistrate.
That's right.
And, of course, you see the tyranny that we're under. Dominion, things like dominion and authority, they never disappear. They're simply transferred, as you and I have talked before, yeah. Dutch. All authority. If a father in the home, if he does not take authority in his home, if he's not the dominion-oriented dad, the authority in the home will get passed to the mother. And, of course, we see a lot of homes where the wife rules the roost.
Yeah.
Hence, we have the old saying in America, she wears the pants in the family.
Yeah.
Why is a woman wearing the pants in the family, according to that statement? It's because the husband has given up the authority, and the authority didn't disappear. It was just simply transferred to the wife.
It's a vacuum that has to be filled.
It's a vacuum that has to be filled. And if the mother doesn't fill it in the home, the children are going to be the dominion-oriented ones, and the home is going to be in chaos and topsy-turvy. And you've seen children that literally run their parents ragged and rule the roost.
Yes, we do.
So here's the point, because this is practical theology, practical Christianity. If Christians don't take dominion, the ungodly will take dominion, and the civil magistrate will take dominion over us if we don't exercise dominion. If we abdicate it, which we have done by and large for 150 years, the civil government is always there to take up, like you say, fill in that vacuum, fill in that void. Also, where organized society abdicates power, the mob or gangs will take that power in proportion to the surrender of the people around them. In other words, we're talking about dominion. The civil magistrate has a lot of dominion over God's people today because we abdicated it. But there's also a passing dominion of anarchy, which is a bloody, violent reign of the momentarily strong. You see gangs taking over certain segments of the inner city. Why have they done that? in these high crime neighborhoods, it's because the citizens have abdicated dominion and they've given the dominion over to the gangs. And when people have had enough and they get sick and tired of it, what do? You see articles even on the regular news from time to times. They take back their neighborhoods.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it. Some old granny gets tired of being dominated by these gangs and living in fear, and they say it's got to stop. And people have to be have enough of intestinal fortitude to say, well, if I die in this fight, I die in this fight, but it's a holy cause.
Got to keep going.
We've got to get the dominion back of our neighborhoods. Yeah.
Keep fighting through it.
Yeah. It's a tragic thing when you go to a neighborhood and you see all these barred windows and barred doors. What a way. They're living in fear because...
Kids aren't playing outside. Yeah.
Kids aren't playing outside because dominion has been transferred to a reprobate society, in this case, the gangs.
Yeah.
I want to look at dominion just to kind of continue on this thought a little bit further. Because of the fall, unregenerate man's dominion is perverted. He does not exercise his power under God for his glory, but expresses himself in dominion as God. And you know, you look at just what happened with the lame duck Congress.
Oh, yeah.
These people knew, these elected officials knew the people didn't want them to do what they were doing. But as God, they set themselves up as God and just ran roughshod over the American people, and the Republicans, as usual, just put up a general tokenism
make
warfare.
It look like they were fighting.
Make it really look like they're fighting.
Substance.
Yeah, with very little, I'm going to stand on this ground, I'm going to do or die on this ground, I'm going to die on this hill. No, you Democrats, you're not going to ram this through over my dead body. And so, of course, I don't have much use for most Republicans. Yeah. There's just a handful up there that are halfway decent. And so unregenerate man, he's got the dominion nature. All men have the dominion nature. The problem is in Christianity, we've repressed it in the Christian man, saying it's not a Christian virtue. But I'm here to tell you that dominion is a Christian virtue. And that the ungodly are going to exercise their dominion as little gods, small G-O-D-S. But we as Christians are to exercise dominion under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us how to do that. And look, he says, when you see the Gentiles, unbelievers in authority, they like to lord it over everybody else and show all the power they got.
Sure.
Just like a lot of our California Highway Patrol officers, they love to lord it over God's heritage. But he says, when you get in positions of power, use it to serve. Prime Minister, for example, he says, be the minister. And of course, as you know, I often teach that the Minister of England is called the Prime Minister, and that's a scriptural term.
Canada and Australia.
Canada, yeah, because it's a term from Scripture that positions of power are for servitude, not to exploit the people. So George Orwell, in his book 1984, he saw the result of unleashed dominion by fallen man. In other words, what's going to happen? He said in his book, he wrote it in 1948, he looked down the corridor of time, and he says, what's going to happen in 1984, if we don't get a hold of ourselves? He said, if you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. You remember that?
Yeah, that's intense. I read that in high school and it scared me.
And we've seen it.
Yeah.
A boot, the jackbooted thugs?
Jackbooted thugs.
Jackbooted thugs stamping on our faces forever. Why is that? Because unregenerate man has the dominion nature within himself, and I'm calling this new year for your listeners and Christian Americans throughout this country to get dominion-oriented again. Otherwise, we're going to have a jackbooted thug stamping on our faces forever and ever.
Stop sitting on your hands. Stop waiting for the rapture. Stop saying the one thing I don't like is when they say, but if I take action, I'm hindering the plan of Jesus, that this all has to get really bad.
And they take that because they've been taught 2 Timothy 3:13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Dutch. That's the end time prophetic passage that they generally
use. Every day in my emails from good meaning people.
Yeah, and if they have more questions about the passage, we can exegete it further. Just for the sake of time, I went through it fairly quick. But if Christians are not dominion in orientation, the state is going to be, and it regularly legislates for power's sake. I think about power, especially in the governmental levels, as a narcotic.
Yeah.
You see some of these U.S. senators that are in their 80s, and who's that guy in his 90s? Was it Strom Thurmond?
Well, there was Byrd, there was Thurmond.
Byrd and Thurmond, I think Strom Thurmond. And they would show pictures of him and during the Senate, and he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Man was high. It was a narcotic to him. Power was a narcotic to these men.
Yeah.
And so they don't relinquish, they don't abdicate their power, their thrones very easily. They should have, you know, given it to a young man a long time ago. And so they like the power for power's sake. Great warriors of old conquered villages, towns, cities, and sometimes nations. In doing so, they raped, robbed, and pillaged. That's the idea of might makes right. They did so, they took dominion over other towns and villages, going back all the way in history, because they were dominion-oriented, but it was a perverted dominion. They did it to exploit people, to rape, rob, and pillage. Mm-hmm. Christian warriors, on the other hand, are called to preserve the liberty of villages, towns, cities, and nations. And of course, this is where the militia comes in, Dutch, as you know. Militias are there to preserve liberty, to preserve the freedom of the town, so that people can walk the streets at night safely, so forth. In short, Christian warriors warred against the evil and protected the vulnerable. Right. Historically, we have the great battles of what Lepanto, we just learned from our old pals Christian History Conference, different battles where the Christians met the Muslims on the field of battle. They were the Muslims were raping, pillaging, and destroying Christianity and
everything
Christian lands.
Everything in their wake.
Everything in their wake. And the Christians had to stand up because they recognized it was a battle for life and death and the soul of their nation or their country or their little city or town.
Right, right. That's a good place to take a break there. We're going to take a break right now. Those of you that are in the chat room that are listening to this, remember, it's live. It's the 30th of December, Thursday, 2010. If you have other questions, you got to email them in. But if you're live right now, now's the time to put them into the chat room and ask us. We'll be back after this break with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell from the Church at Kuia's Practical Christianity Show.
Some trust in the horse, but we the world depend upon the name of Christ our Lord. The Lord has made my hands to war, my fingers to fight. The Lord raised love our hands, raises us upright. Oh, he raises us upright. Oh, the Lord is our defense. Thousand to the right, and yet he will defend us from the arrow in the night, protect us from the terrors of the teeth of the divine, imbue us with your presence, encompass us the power, oh, encompass us the power, for the one who's our defense. Coveting the kingdom and hungering for blood. trust in chariots, some trust in the horse, but we here will depend upon the name of Christ our Lord. The Lord has made my hands to war, my fingers to fight.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems in your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
Well, that song can only mean one thing. We're right in the middle of an edition of our Thursday nights Practical Christianity with the pastor Warren Mark Campbell, and we're talking about Christian Dominion. Stop it. Stop making the level go up and down, Lou. I'm doing it. We're doing two knobs at one time here. So we're going to get right back to it, Pastor, with your teaching on Christian Dominion.
Okay, we've been looking at the subject of dominion. You've given several scriptures. I want to give another scripture for your listeners that God wants, that we're created as God's sons and daughters, as Christians, followers of God, were created for the dominion purpose. Another verse that doesn't use dominion, but you'll see it very clearly demonstrated, is found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll look at verse 12 and 13 of Deuteronomy 28. These are the blessings and cursings according to whether the children of Israel would keep covenant with God or not. And here in the blessing section it says, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations." Israel, you're going to lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Why? Because you've been following God, you've been following the law of God, and he's going to bless you so that you'll have money and you can lend to nations, and they will be subservient to you. They'll be on the poorhouse. Because as Proverbs says, the borrower is slave to the lender. Verse 13. Now listen to this, folks. "And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail." Mm. That's dominion.
Right.
That's dominion. "And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and do them." I don't know about your listeners, Dutch, but I don't like being the tail.
I don't want to be the tail.
It stinks back there.
The view's terrible.
Yeah, the view's terrible. It stinks back there. God says to his people, if you'll walk in covenant with me, I want to make you the head. God wants to bless his people. We need to have a dominion orientation, but if we don't have hope, if we don't believe that God will be with us, I like what the father of the modern missionary movement, one of the greatest missionaries and the first one to India, William Carey, said, "Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God."
Right.
Let me say that to you again. William Carey, the father of modern missions in India, said, "Attempt great things for God and expect great things from God." So we need to be seen as we submit to the Lord and we walk in covenant with Him as a community, as a commonwealth, as a city, a state, or a nation, that God would once again make us the head, because why would we be the head? So that we can live our lives under Him, Coram Deo, as Him, as He being the head, and we can use it, our positions of authority, to serve others. So I just wanted to give your listeners another verse there. You know, he's known as the Prince of Preachers. His name was Charles Spurgeon. He gave a challenge to the young people in his day that is a clarion call for ours. And so I love these types of truths because they're timeless and they're eternal. And so Spurgeon said this, quote, "Battles are coming in which our young men will need to stand with firm foot.
Right.
There will be strifes in which they will not be of the slightest value if they cannot brave the conflict. Rest assured, these are not silken days, nor times to make us dream that we have won the victory. Our fathers, where are they? They are looking down upon us from their thrones, but what do they see?" That would be an allusion to Hebrews chapter 12. "Do they see us wearing the crown and waving the palm branch? If so, they see us as lunatics indeed, for that were a madman's sport. But he said, rather, they should see us, our founding fathers, or our fathers looking down from heaven, they should see us as sharpening our swords afresh and buckling on our panoply anew." A panoply is strictly a military term for all the accoutrements that you would wear in a time of war.
Right.
Okay? And so we have our panoply that we would wear as militiamen and as soldiers today, to fight the same fight which they fought under other circumstances. The young blood of the church under God is our great hope in the conflict of King Jesus. Now it was ending Spurgeon. Here is something we dare not miss. In the cosmic battle for good and evil, the Christian warrior understands his supply line and ground forces emanate from the home.
Wow.
So the big attack from Satan, of course, is in the home. To get fathers to give up godly dominion, to give up godly authority, transfer it to the mother. If the mother doesn't take it, then transfer it to the child and get things all messed up.
Take out the foundations.
You like that, so let me give it to you again, Dutch.
Yeah.
In the cosmic battle for good and evil, the Christian warrior understands his supply line and ground forces emanate from the home. So, folks, it doesn't do us much good if our children aren't serving the Lord. It doesn't do us much good if we aren't raising up warriors and sending them out as arrows, according to Psalm 127. Mm-hmm. Let the children send them out as arrows from the home. And as local militias, you need to understand that the strength of the local militia will be in the home as well. That's your supply line. That's where your ground forces are going to come from.
It's your logistics right there.
It's your logistics, right. Families, churches, and militias have an esprit de corps, or they don't. As you know, I'm really big on esprit de corps. And esprit de corps, a definition of esprit de corps, is a spirit of enthusiastic devotedness to and support of the common goals of a group. The good news is that if esprit de corps is lacking, it can be cultivated. And I'd like to share the story of Colonel David Hackworth in Vietnam. He wrote a book that I really, really enjoyed, Dutch, when I read it here a year or so ago.
It's
called
a great book.
Steal My Soldiers' Hearts. That's S-T-E-E-L, not S-T-E-A-L. S-T-E-E-L, Steal My Soldiers' Hearts, by Colonel David Hackworth. The Hopeless, the Hardcore Transformation of the U.S. Army's 4th Battalion, 39th Infantry in Vietnam. And what was going on before Colonel Hackworth took over this battalion, it was like the worst in Vietnam. It was at the bottom of the barrel. Morale was low. They had a high casualty rate. Nobody really wanted to do anything in there, and so they just would go out on patrol. They'd get slaughtered, and they weren't. No confirmed kills were coming from this battalion. It was just in an utter ruins. And so Hackworth was assigned, and he's a paratrooper, head of paratroopers, so he knows how to deal with hardcore cases. But he's just got to take a regular infantry here.
Leg unit,
and turn it into something.
Yeah.
And so, but how does he do it? So I want to just read you a couple paragraphs of how Hackworth turned the 4th Battalion, 39th Infantry, 9th Division, from the worst in there to being the top-notch guys that they were by the time Hackworth got done training them and adding esprit de corps. We're talking about we need to have a sense of hope as Dominion people. We need to have a sense of esprit de corps. And so quoting Hackworth now for a few moments, he said, "To kick things off, I brought back saluting, a sign of military discipline that had been swallowed up by the rice paddy mud. Then I added a twist. When a soldier saluted, I required him to sound off with a loud, "Hardcore recondo, sir," to which the officer would reply, "No darn slack." Now, I put in the darn there. You can figure what the officer speaks a little bit, all right?
Yeah.
But notice what's happening. So he sees a superior officer, and he's required to sound off with a salute. "Hardcore recondo, sir." Yeah. And the officer would reply, "No darn slack." Immediately, an esprit de corps is being built up. He's trying to infuse in these soldiers. He's trying to put some steel in their backbone and steel in their hearts.
Right.
The salute discipline aside, also built unit pride. We need to have pride as Christian militias and in our churches. The name Recondo, a combination of reconnaissance and infantry doughboy, came from the rugged hands on training of the 101st Airborne Division practiced at Fort Campbell. Training modeled after the British Commando and American Ranger courses.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is, we're talking about the elite training here, which should be the training for all. Hank Emerson had named the 1st Brigade the Recondo Brigade to make the unit feel elite. Like an airborne unit, hitchhiking on his idea, I named the 439th the Hardcore Recondos.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Press, this was his sergeant that was under him, Bob Press hired a machine shop in Saigon to make small black metal Recondo arrowhead pins,
mm-hmm.
which the men quickly began wearing. We painted the Recondo insignia on the sides of our helmets and on all of our vehicles just below the windshield, along with a large white hardcore. We painted the same insignia on company and battalion signs at the fire bases and back of our rear area in Dong Tam. We also had sharp-looking hardcore Recondo stationery printed up and gave it to the troops, and all outgoing mail was stamped with the Recondo logo. And here's the point. All of this said, we're different. We're not just plain old infantry. We're the best. Dig it? Hardcore Recondo. Now, he goes on, just one other thought here. He goes on to say, you can't make a unit proud by praising it, and you can't make a soldier proud by telling him how tough or how good he is. That only works up to a point. That's superficial stuff.
Pain.
Hardcore says, no pain, no gain. They had to earn it.
Yeah.
But first they had to begin to believe in themselves, and after they had some pain and they saw the gain from their pain and the discipline that began to be exercised throughout the camp, they began to believe in themselves once again, and they really became hardcore Recondo, and they established themselves as a platoon with honors. And after that point in time, they began to pick up confirmed kills. And those that left the infantry, leaving the 439th, left in honor. And the military was proud of what they were able to accomplish by establishing esprit de corps.
And the enemy feared them on the battlefield.
And the enemy began to fear them because they'd heard of Recondo, hardcore Recondo, just like the name in Vietnam, I can't think of the Vietnamese name, but White Feather.
Oh, yeah.
Something Trang.
Carlos
Hathcock. That White Feather began to be, instill fear in the enemy, just like the name Stonewall Jackson did on the North.
It affects the enemy in a positive way for your people.
It affects, and if the enemy sees churches, Christians, with steel in their hearts, steel in their backbone, it will affect them dramatically as well.
Well, it's like the case of the atheists from the Valley that were going to come up and disrupt our conference. They went to our website. They went on YouTube. They saw we were not to be trifled with.
Yes.
And
yes.
It kept that from becoming an ugly incident. I would rather not fight. I'd rather have the enemy say, it's time to move on. And that is a great benefit of that type of attitude.
Let them say, let's take a different target, a target of weaker. These guys are too formidable. I don't think I really want to mess with them.
Yep.
Do we have any questions yet?
They're just listening in there.
Okay.
When you come on, they don't chat. They just listen. I think they're drinking this up, so it's good. But I do have a question.
Okay.
And without getting too much into it, during the break we brought up Alvin York, Dominion into the military.
Okay.
And we have a side discussion going on Facebook, and we're going to avoid that one. But I know Adam Brink's out there listening, so I wanted to at least touch on it for him. Where do we stop Dominion? Where is there a place where it ends? The military today, they're allowing sodomites in. They're fighting unrighteous wars. Politics, you get into politics, you compromise. Hegelian dialectic. How do you know when you're supposed to go into these areas and press the full crown rights of Jesus Christ?
There isn't an area at all that isn't under the lordship of Jesus Christ. For example, people used to tell me, Well, Halloween, October 31st, that's Satan's Day. And I would tell them, no, that is not Satan Day. Satan's Day, according to the doctrine of prior claim, that is God's day, and Satan is a usurper. Right. And so we need to take October 31st back. We talked about that before, and so we did so through Reformation Night that we celebrate. Certainly politics has gotten the reputation of being dirty, and oftentimes it is, but there's no reason for a statesman that gets into office to have to compromise and compromise his convictions. Mm-hmm. You know, we see certain men and women that come in and they, you know, they stand for truth and stand for righteousness, come hell or high water. We don't always agree with them on every decision that they make, but we see them certainly stand for the truth. For instance, Ron Paul is known as Dr. No in the Congress because he's always voting no to everything because they're, you know, they are not constitutional, the laws that the legislature wants to put. So he's known as Mr. No. See, not Dr. No, Mr. No, because he's always voting no. And so he doesn't have to, and I differ with him on a few things, but they're minor points. And so we don't have to compromise when we get in these positions. If a soldier's in the military today, you know, you would know being in the military, they have a duty to disobey an unjust order if it's given. If a just order is given, well, they need to obey it. If it's unjust, if it's contrary to the law of God, then they're not to participate in it. I do agree, though, that the military is a little bit of a different issue in the sense that if you're serving today, you're liable to be asked to do all kinds of things that are truly contrary to the Word of God. I cannot recommend, like, for instance, my son to go into the military.
Nor would I.
But a number of years ago, about 10 years ago, he came to me and he did want to go into the military. And I said, okay, son, I'll pray about it. And we talked about the Coast Guard, and he said he would try the Coast Guard because I feared that there was less chance that he'd be fighting for the New World Order.
Right.
He'd be fighting more for America. As the Lord worked it out, he did not end up going in. But this would, I would call this an issue of conscience, Dutch. If somebody feels led of God, that God's calling them into the military, I would by no means prohibit them. I would even lay hands on them in prayer before they go.
Which we've done here.
Which we've done here, yeah. We've laid hands on young men as they go into the military and go into harm's way and pray the power of God and anointing upon their life. But I certainly would find it difficult to recommend them going in. You know, certainly they need training if they want military-type training. But the thing is, today, thank God in America, as you and I know, we get that type of training here. The civilians can get that type of training.
They have to seek it out, be diligent, and find it.
And they have to pay it. They have to prioritize, and you're going to have to pay for it like we do. But I'm so thankful for our instructors that are out there and that give us, a quality training in those areas. So It's an issue of conscience. There's no blanket rule as far as I'm concerned there. So if a young man wanted to go in and he really felt led that it was, I sure wouldn't do it flippantly in this day and age.
Yeah.
If he felt led of God to do so, then by all means. I hope, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. And you had preached from the pulpit one time, the reason Hollywood is so terrible today is because when the invention of film came about,
yes,
the Christians fled from it. Could you extrapolate a little on that? A non-martial sense. Why is Hollywood, you know, people say we shouldn't get involved in Hollywood, it's disgusting.
That's right. Back, we're talking at the turn of the century, 1900, a little before that, not just after 1900, when this celluloid film was first coming into play. It's interesting to note historically that those first silent movies were played in the certain churches of America because when movies first came out, there were no theaters.
Movie theaters, no.
There was none because it was too new of a field. And Christians saw the celluloid, the film, as being an area that was already given to the devil because maybe the first films that were coming out were not pleasing to the Lord. And so they stepped away from it, and Hollywood has now become the morass of sin that it is. But back in the 30s, 20s, the Christians had an opportunity to get involved and did not, and they retreated, and they just gave it over to the devil. And certainly it is a reprobate, ungodly system. But thank God for those few Christians that are there that are working towards reforming the system, or better yet, just filming independent film companies.
Just going forth.
Yeah, our good friend, for example, how does this meet practically? Where the rubber meets the road, our good friend John Quay, Dutch, that just passed away about 2 years ago. He said if a man made a film for $2 million or less, he would not, and he even had a figure less than that, but he said the man does not need to go into the theaters. He can just market it through the Christian sources that are out there, and he can make a profit. And so you can still make a good, high-quality film and begin to work that way. So how would you go enter into Hollywood? you're going to have to bypass a lot of that and just enter in and make films, independent films yourself.
Yeah, they might be Giants, Faith Like Potatoes, all independent films.
Excellent films that made a lot of money.
Right.
Yeah, that made...
They used to make more movies,
right.
You know.
Perfect. Excellent examples, yeah.
So I just wanted to touch on that because it's not all Marshall. It's also arts, entertainment, all aspects.
Dominion, absolutely. Yeah, that's a very good point. Yes, folks, our dominion is in every aspect of life. I get off on Marshall things because that's what we talk about on the Dutch Jones show, and that's what we do here. But absolutely, arts, entertainment, education. Our children should not be in the government schools. Get them out, folks. If it is at all possible, get your children out of the government schools and
Amen.
Put them in a education where they're receiving the Word of God and history that will teach them and encourage them to fight the battles that they are to face.
Sure. I see you got a book there, Paradise Restored by David Chilton.
Yes, I would like to close my thoughts here tonight. I know we've got about
6 minutes.
About 6 minutes, yeah. I'd like to close my thoughts with, we're talking about dominion, but how can we have dominion if we don't have hope? And Chilton says, for too long, Christians have been characterized by despair. Think about the Christians that you know and perhaps even your own self. Have you been characterized by despair, defeat, and retreat? For too long, Christians have heeded the false doctrine which teaches that we are doomed to failure, that Christians cannot win. The notion that until Jesus returns, Christians will steadily lose ground to the enemy. The future of the church, we are told, is to be a steady slide into apostasy. I do not believe that, for instance, because I see Jesus teaching in the parable of the leaven that was hid in the loaf of bread till the whole loaf was leavened, the whole loaf was permeated with the power of the gospel. Jesus said the kingdom of God, and that's speaking of the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is like mustard seed, which is the smallest seed in that genre of seeds, but when it grows up, the mustard plant is so big that the birds of the air can take lodging in its branches, Jesus said, and find protection. And so he says, that's what the kingdom of God's like. Forget your eschatology or what your view of the end times is. The principle of the kingdom of God is one of growth.
Right.
One of growth.
Go forth.
Social action, going back to Chilton, social action projects were looked upon with skepticism. It was often assumed that anyone who actually tried to improve the world must not really believe the Bible because the Bible taught that such efforts were bound to be futile. As one famous preacher put it, you don't polish brass on a sinking ship. That slogan was based on two assumptions. First, that the world is nothing more than a sinking ship, and I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Second, that any organized program of Christian reconstruction would be nothing more than polishing brass.
Can't fix the ship.
You can't fix it, yeah.
Yeah.
Evangelism was an invitation to join the losing side. Mm-hmm. This was rooted in two problems. One was a false view of spirituality. The unbiblical idea of spirituality is that the truly spiritual man is the person who is sort of non-physical, who doesn't get involved in earthly things, who doesn't work very much or think very hard, who spends most of his time meditating about how he'd rather be in heaven. As long as he's on earth, though, he has one main duty in life, get stepped on for Jesus.
Right.
That's the way the church world is really taught, get stepped on for Jesus. The spiritual man in this view is a wimp. He's a loser, but at least he's a good loser. He knows how to lose good.
Yeah, lose with spirit and honor.
The second obstacle to Christian action, Chilton says, has been an eschatology. And that's what we talked about here, just hit on a couple of weeks ago, just a little bit, that their view of the end times is one of defeat. Our eschatology is our doctrine of the last things, our expectation of the future. And there is no question about the recent expectations of many Christians. We have looked forward to failure. The world, as we noted earlier, was regarded as a sinking ship. The world was regarded as a sinking ship. Instead now, Dutch, instead of a message of defeat, the Bible really gives us hope. That's what I'm trying to give your listeners, hope for the new year, both in this world and the next. You see, the Bible gives us an eschatology of dominion, an eschatology of victory. This is not some blind, everything will work out somehow kind of optimism. It is a solid, confident, Bible-based assurance that before the second coming of Christ, the gospel will be victorious throughout the entire world.
Amen. Entire world. It doesn't say only certain sections.
Yeah, the hope of the worldwide conquest of Christianity has been the traditional faith of the church age through the church ages. Now, let me read that to you again. The hope of the worldwide conquest of Christianity has been the traditional faith of the church through the ages. We never would have had a United States of America if people didn't have an eschatology, a view of hope. if our founding fathers, you know, taking on the greatest military power of that day, if they didn't have a view of hope, a concept of dominion, that what they were doing was in the hand, the event was being in the hands of God, and that God would give them victory, they never could have met the challenges that they met. George Washington, without his faith in God, could never have met the challenges that he met there on the battlefield so many times.
You said last night in Bible study, where the Bible goes, liberty follows.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And it just, you look at it and look at it. The real Bible, not like we could talk about Catholicism in South and Central America, there's no liberty there. But where the Word of God goes honestly and openly to all the people of the world, liberty follows. Just amazing, amazing stuff. So don't sit on your hands, people. Don't think it's time to be a lone wolf and go to your bunker and not be out there. That's why we do this show. That's why we have the websites up. You know, not to be targets, but to be sending arrows downrange so that we can pierce some hearts and make them think, make people think. That's why we do this.
See, Jesus' victory, we think of his ultimate victory in the resurrection, Dutch, but he began defeating Satan at his birth and as a young boy and as a young man. And then when he becomes a man and he goes into what we would call the ministry, he has to go in the desert, you know, for 40 days, and he's tempted of Satan, and he defeats Satan 3 times in the temptation in the wilderness. How much time we got?
We're just wrapping it up. We've got about 30 seconds.
So he defeats Satan in the temptation in the wilderness. Then he says, I've defeated Satan. Now I'm giving my disciples power to defeat Satan. He sends the 70 out.
Yes.
And all throughout his ministry, he's defeating Satan. He defeats him on the cross. And then the ultimate victory of Satan is the resurrection. But all through his life, he is gaining control and defeating Satan. And that's what we as Christians need to be doing throughout our entire life, defeating Satan.
There is not a ceasefire. It has not been called.
Right.
So, folks, if you like what you're hearing here on Practical Christianity, you can go to the church's website, thechurch@kawea.org. Thechurch@kawea.org. Spell it A-T. Kawea is spelled K-A-W-E-A-H. Go to dutchjones.info. If you know where it's at, you'll find the link there. You can see more of pastor sermons there. We've got videos. We've got stuff you can download for free to listen to. And just don't forget, the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but the victory belongs to the Lord alone. We're just honored enough to be part of the battle. So thank you for listening. Tune in on Monday. There will be no Friday night New Year's Eve show where we'll have Lane Lawless on. Tune in next Thursday for another installment of Practical Christianity with the Pastor Warren Mark Campbell from the Church at Kawea. God bless you and all you do in the Holy Cause of Liberty. Good night, and have a great new year.